بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون، إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. وقال تعالى: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد، ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء، حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا، فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, from amongst the innumerable bounties and favors of Allah Rabbul Izzah upon mankind, upon insan, is that Allah has made us ashraful makhluqat, the most noble, the most capable of Allah's creation. When we look into the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find they are very great, magnificent creations. The solar system, the sun, the moon, the planets, the stars. While these are very great creations of Allah, fulfilling very great and important functions, yet Allah has not blessed them with the faculty, the attribute of life. Likewise, when we look into the animal kingdom, we find once again very intricate designs, very detailed manufacturing in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while Allah has favored the animal kingdom with life, when it comes to intellect, understanding, rationalizing, then they have this to a very limited degree. But yet when it comes to insan, mankind, not only has Allah blessed us with life, but Allah has selected us exclusively to enjoy the attribute of intellect, of aql, of understanding. And it is no secret that the pathway to understanding, the pathway to the aql, to the mind, to intelligence, is what is known as ilm, knowledge. A person seeks knowledge, in turn he uses the faculty of understanding that Allah has given him, and this enables him to lead his life in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This enables him to make the correct decisions. For us to understand the importance of this attribute, my dear brothers, it is a well-known, well-established principle and fact that when a manufacturer wishes to launch a new item, a new product, then he does not highlight those features that other similar products already have. But he will highlight and he will discuss or put on display the standout feature of that product. As an example, a cell phone manufacturer that comes out with a new device, then he does not need to market that phone's ability to make or receive calls, to send or receive messages. This is a well-established fact. This does not make this product stand out from its competitors. But if that cell phone, that device has a standout feature, something exclusive, then this will be the feature that is marketed at launch. Why are we mentioning this example, my dear brothers? Allah is free from similarity. Allah is free from comparison. But when Allah, so to say, launched the creation of mankind, the very first human being to be created, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, then we find the very first feature that was marketed, that was put on display, was the knowledge of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, his ilm. The incident is recorded in Quran Sharif. When Allah stated his intention to create mankind, the malaika, the angels at that time, expressed their reservation. That, O Allah, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. That, are you going to create such a creation and then send them into the world? What will they do? They will create bloodshed. They will create havoc. They will create chaos in the world. Allah wanted to show the angels that this creation of man, this creation of insan, by virtue of the feature of aql, of intellect, of understanding, of knowledge that I have blessed him with. Far from creating bloodshed, far from creating chaos, far from creating havoc in the world. But if he utilizes these attributes to his advantage, then he will surpass the angels also, and he will become the closest of my creation to me. Allah tutors Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah teaches him the names of the essential items that he needed to know. And then Allah presents these items before the angels. The angels, elsewhere in Quran, Allah describes them. They do not have the capacity to disobey Allah. Perpetually in his obedience, created from nur, from light. Allah presents these items before the malaika, before the angels. And then Allah says to them, now name these items. The angels realize that despite our so-called piety, despite our closeness to Allah, despite our obedience to Allah, we are lacking in this attribute of knowledge. So immediately, they apologize to Allah. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Oh Allah, you are free from flaw, you are free from fault. You are free from making any incorrect decisions. We do not have knowledge except what you have taught us. Allah then calls Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah presents these items in front of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah instructs him to begin naming these items. And one by one, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, having been tutored by Allah, he begins to name these items one by one. Allah puts on display the very first attribute, the very first feature of insan, his ilm, his knowledge. We can well understand, my dear brothers, if this was the importance shown to knowledge at the inception of man, we can well understand how important, how pivotal a role will the knowledge of man play till the day of Qiyamah. And from this we can gauge and understand that if knowledge is so important, how pivotal, how imperative it is that the sources of knowledge also be correct. Ulama have mentioned that when the source of knowledge is correct, the knowledge a person receives will be correct, actuality derived from this will be correct, and in turn it will translate into practice that is also correct and pleasing to Allah. But on the contrary, if the sources of knowledge are not authentic, have not been verified, if a person will take knowledge from anywhere and everywhere, from anyone and everyone, if he will not exercise caution in this regard, then the knowledge he receives will be tainted, the spirituality that is created will be tainted, and in turn the practice that it leads to will also be tainted and incorrect. Far from a person earning the pleasure of Allah, earning the closeness of Allah, he may be sincere, his intentions may be correct. He wants to please Allah, he wants to obey Allah. He is seeking knowledge, but because the sources of knowledge have not been verified, have not been authenticated, because he did not exercise caution in this regard, then far from pleasing Allah, far from gaining the closeness to Allah, he will find himself being distanced from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this important, my dear brothers? When it comes to knowledge, when it comes to ilm, we understand salah cannot be performed without correct knowledge. Zakat cannot be discharged without correct knowledge. A person will not know how to fast in the month of Ramadan without correct knowledge. And when we look at the current era in which we find ourselves in, then we find, my dear brothers, that in contrast to previous generations or previous eras, the current generation is enjoying widespread access to knowledge on a level that it has never enjoyed before. Whereas in the past, for a person to access the facts or figures with regard to any particular topic, any particular item, if he wanted to further his knowledge in any particular field, then first of all, it would be a very costly affair. He would have to enroll in some institute. At times, access to the knowledge itself was difficult. There may have been the barrier of physical distance. Perhaps there were no suitable institutes in his town, in his city. Many a times, people had to travel abroad, travel overseas. There were hurdles upon hurdles, barrier upon barrier, which hindered a person in his journey of seeking knowledge. But we find today with the rise of the internet, with the rise of artificial intelligence, access to knowledge has become more widespread than it ever was before. But at the same time, my dear brothers, this has brought with it a whole host of challenges, a whole host of fears and concerns, which if they are not addressed, if they are not corrected, then far from this access to knowledge being beneficial to us, but it will spell the beginning of the downfall of this ummah. When it comes to the authentication and verification of knowledge, let us look at the pious predecessors of Islam. They exercise in this regard, that we should not take knowledge from anywhere and everywhere. It has been mentioned regarding Imam Malik rahimahullah, one of the very great fuqaha and jurists of Islam, a person who we are all indebted to for the knowledge that he has left behind. He mentions regarding his teaching, rahimahullah, he says, I observed Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani for 3 consecutive years. I would witness him coming for Hajj. I would also be present in Makkah Mukarramah. And I would observe his conduct, his character, the way he dealt with people, his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, finally on the 3rd Hajj, I saw him seated near the well of Zamzam. And I noticed that whenever the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken, then tears would be streaming down the cheeks of Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani. When I saw this, I realized that this was a person who was close to Allah. This was a man of piety. This was a man of integrity. It was only then that I decided, or that I was comfortable enough to take knowledge from him. 3 consecutive years. But he was not prepared to take knowledge until he had thoroughly vetted the individual, until he was sure of his credentials. How often we find, my dear brothers, sometimes it may be some account on some social media page, and perhaps it has been cloaked in the garment of Islam. It may boast a large number of likes and subscribes and followers. And this becomes the only criteria we use to determine whether to take knowledge from there or not. Sometimes it may be the garb of deen. The words may be the words of deen. But how many times it has been found that behind those accounts, behind those profiles, behind those individuals, there is absolutely no knowledge whatsoever. There has been no chain of study. There has been no authentication, no verification of the knowledge that is put out. But not only do we subscribe to this, not only do we listen to these accounts, but we find it very easy to just share and to forward these type of things, at times not bothering about the content therein, sometimes blatantly against the deen of Allah, against the pristine sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But simply because it looks appealing, there's some sound effects, or perhaps time has gone into the editing of that particular clip, and we find that this constitutes deen, this constitutes knowledge. Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah himself, the teacher of Imam Malik, he mentions about his own authentication process. He says, at times kana yaduru hawla al-ashkhasi shahran. At times I would follow and cling to a person for 1 month, observing his day and night, observing his speech with people, observing his business dealings, observing his interaction with Allah in the dead of night. And only once I was thoroughly satisfied, then only would I take him as a valid source of knowledge. Then only would I take deen from him. This is the tradition that has been left for us, my dear brothers. In today's age of the internet, of artificial intelligence, it should not be that we lose sight of these checks and balances that have been put in place by the scholars of Islam. It should not be that we lose sight of this And in turn, this leads to a distortion of deen. This leads to a watering down of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not just our obligation, my dear brothers. It is not just for my own life in this world. But as an ummah, we have a responsibility, a collective responsibility, that not only do we practice upon pristine deen, but we preserve deen for the generations to come after us. If we will let go of these checks and balances, if we will not exercise caution in this regard, then we can imagine what will be left for the generations to come. The hadith that I mentioned in the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the death of knowledge. He speaks about the snatching away of knowledge. How will Allah take knowledge away from the ummah? Intiza'an. Allah will not take away the books from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, the libraries will remain, the pages will remain, the words will remain. In today's time, the cloud storage will remain. وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. But Allah will take knowledge away by taking away the men of knowledge. When we look into the Quran, the guidance is very, very clear. If a person lacks the skill or does not have the required tools to derive knowledge directly from Quran and Sunnah, then what does Allah instruct us? Allah does not instruct us to turn to the internet. Allah does not instruct us to turn to some computer program. But the guidance of Quran is crystal clear. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you do not have the tools, if you lack the required skill, then turn to the men of knowledge. Turn to the people of knowledge. Mufassirin, commentators of Quran have written that there is a subtle indication in this verse that the knowledge of deen will forever be linked to hearts that are beating and pumping. It will not be linked to ones and zeros on a screen. It will not be linked to the internet or some computer program. But it will be linked to hearts that have iman within them. We find if we have to question the elderly, our grandfathers, our fathers, then in the past, the community would attach themselves to the local alim, the imam of the masjid. He was a simple man. They knew him. They knew his background. They knew his family. They had seen him grow up in front of them. And they were able to testify to his sincerity, to his dedication, to his years of sacrifice. They entrusted matters of deen to him. And he did not let them down. But in today's time, unfortunately, my dear brothers, with the influx of foreign speakers, or likewise with the easy access to foreign speakers on the internet, this has also left us. And we now take to anyone and everyone this principle, my dear brothers, this principle of applying checks and balances is not something that is exclusive to deen, but this is a principle that each and every one of us understand in our own lives. No individual whose wife is suffering from some sickness, some illness, will turn to the internet for advice, self-diagnose and self-medicate. But he will search for a professional. He is ready to pay out of his own pocket. At times he will go for a second opinion, a third opinion. He will consult a specialist in another country. But he wants to ensure that the advice he receives is genuine, is authentic. He does not want to take any chances. Understand, my dear brothers, if we do not apply this to our deen, ulama say, that vehicle that has been serviced by a backdoor mechanic, a person wanted to save a few bucks, so he left the agents, he went to some backdoor mechanic, someone with barely any credentials. He perhaps does not even have the right tools that are required for the service. Then we can expect that vehicle to trouble thereafter. We can expect the exhaust to smoke. We can expect the engine to cease. We can expect the gearbox to give up. In the very same way, my dear brothers, that deen that has been serviced through the back doorway, where checks and balances have not been put in place, where we do not follow a rigorous process of authentication and verification, then we can expect that that deen also will not give us mileage. Then we can expect there to be some shortfall in our taqwa, some shortfall in our salah, some shortfall in our concentration, some shortfall in the barakat, in the blessings that Allah generally creates within our lives. then we can expect things to go wrong. And this is the cry, this is the concern, this is the complaint of each and every person. That despite my best efforts, things are just not falling into place. When it comes to my business, when it comes to my sustenance, when it comes to my children, when it comes to my marital life, when it comes to my social life, it just seems to be challenge after challenge after challenge. Let us go back, my dear brothers. Let us ensure the sources of knowledge are authentic. Let us ensure that we refer our dini matters to those who are qualified in this regard. Those who have a rich tradition of scholarship behind them. Those whose character we are ready to attest to in their lives for the khidmat of deen, for the service of deen. And then see the difference that it will make within our lives. Our a'mal will now be corrected. Our spirituality will be corrected. And ultimately our closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also fall into place. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.